Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Thursday night edition of our special broadcast, Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Tuesday night from 7:30 to 8:30, you have dynamic and true gospel preaching. And on Thursday nights, we have our Bible Questions and Answers program. If you have a Bible question, please press number 1, and our administrator, Brother Bryant Brown, will put you on through. If you have a Bible question, we'll give you a Bible answer, and we guarantee that. We won't waste your time with what we think or what we feel, but the only thing that we're qualified to tell you is what thus saith the Lord. So therefore, if you have a Bible question, we'll give you a Bible answer to it. I'm Brother Lewis Parker IV from the Darien Luke Church of Christ. Also online, we have Brother L.C. Parker Jr. from Darien Luke Church of Christ, Brother Leroy Williams and Brother Jay Johnson, both of Wharton, Texas. We also have, I don't know if he's on tonight, but Brother Horace Robbins of the Brookshire Congregation in Brookshire, Texas, Brother P.E. Stewart of the West End Congregation in the Heights, Houston, Texas. And I know Brother Stewart won't be with us tonight at West End. They're running a gospel meeting with Tommy Brooks and with Brother Tommy Brooks and Brother Horace Stroud. So I think tonight's the last night, so we pray for success there and success at all gospel Church of Christ across the world and country. May we pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we approach your throne of grace in Jesus' name, the only way we know how, praying that your word not fall on deaf ears, Father. We pray for this broadcast, the gospel meeting, gospel meetings and broadcasts everywhere, Father, that's preaching and teaching your word in love and that's telling the truth in Jesus' name, Father. We pray that you'll continue to bless us and men serving everywhere to declare the full counsel of God without addition to nor subtraction from, Father. We pray that it will fall in the fertile ground and help men see the light, that they may glorify you and that they may be baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Christ's name we do pray, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's something about water baptism, something about the water. Now, we see water all throughout the Holy Bible. We see water under the Old Covenant and under the New. And a lot of times when we consider the water, it's also important to consider the blood. Over in Colossians, the writer Paul tells us that an operation is performed in baptism. And in that operation, by faith, the blood of Christ is applied to our hearts, to our souls, and it cleanses us from our sin. So therefore, we see, if we're honest in reading the Bible and in interpreting the Bible, we see that in order to receive God's Holy Spirit and the remission of sins, then baptism is indeed a requirement. It's necessary. It's essential. It's not an option for salvation. Unfortunately, you have many today who teach that baptism is our sign of an inward grace. So they might teach that you could actually be saved before you are baptized. Some teach that you could actually receive God's Holy Spirit before you are baptized, but I beg to differ on the basis of the book of Acts. Each conversion you see throughout the book of Acts, you see people being baptized in order to be saved. Now, are there instances in Acts when people receive the Holy Spirit first? But you have to understand that that occurred to the apostles based on the promise of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus told his apostles that not a long time from here, you receive the Holy Spirit. That came by promise of Jesus Christ and apostles.
Amen.
We see it again, Acts 10:11, it coming to the household of Cornelius, but that was a one-time incident. And quite frankly, the purpose why the Holy Spirit landed on Cornelius and his household was not for their benefit, but for the benefit of Peter and the rest of the Jews to see that God was accepting them as Gentiles into the plan of salvation. That was the reason why God allowed the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit to fall on them at that point. But look, even then, even after they received the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit, they still were required to get baptized. So there's no need for people today to be saying that you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved.
Amen.
Baptism is indeed essential, and in order for us to access the blood, we have to get into the water. So therefore, if we want the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin, then we have to be able to get in the water. Why? Because the blood is in the water.
Amen.
I want to pause and see if we have any questions at this point before we pass the microphone to one of our other esteemed ministers on the panel. Any questions, Brother Brown?
Yes, sir, we have one.
Okay, all right. Go ahead,
Amen.
Caller.
Hold on 1 second, Mom.
Sure.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, how is everybody doing on the panel?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Sorry I haven't called in a while, but I've been under the weather. But I have a question regarding the last will and testament, and I want someone to make the distinct comparison from the last will and testament of Moses and of Jesus, because my where I'm going with my question is, did the if Moses had a binding last will and testament, what was in the testament, and if there were heirs, who were the heirs of his testament? And could you compare that to the last will and testament of Jesus Christ? And who are the heirs in the last will and testament of Christ? And what are the benefits to those heirs, if you can make that distinction for me?
That's a very good question, and I'll address it right fast and then pass it on to our esteemed panel. You know, first let me say this, is that, you know, Moses, under the Mosaic covenant, God's people were Israel. You know, but let me say this, one thing about the Mosaic covenant is that it did not come from Moses, it actually came from God. Moses
Amen.
Was only the conduit. He was only the messenger, but the message of the law itself came
Amen.
From God. So it was from God to God's people. And God's
Amen.
People at that time were the children of Israel. And you'd see
mm-hmm.
Israel was actually back in the days when Jacob, you know,
yes.
Joseph's father, but God gave him under covenant the name Israel. So therefore, under Moses' law, God gave Moses' law for a specific purpose, and Paul defines that purpose for us in the letter to the Galatians, where he said the law serves as a schoolmaster. So basically, the purpose of the law was to bring us to Jesus Christ. See, Moses was actually a type of the Christ. If you would see from Matthew's gospel is very interesting because Matthew actually wrote to a Jewish audience. So therefore, when you look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it's interesting how Matthew mm-hmm. had Jesus delivering his sermon from the mountain. Notice that
okay.
I think that Matthew was making a comparison between Moses
Amen.
And Jesus, because Moses gave the law. That's where he received the law of God from the mountain. So therefore,
okay.
he went up, got the law from God, and brought it to God's people, whereas Jesus himself came from heaven, direct from God, and gave his law on the mount in the sermonic discourse. So therefore, Moses' covenant pointed towards Jesus' covenant all along. But notice this, beneficiaries under Moses' covenant was indeed the righteous remnant of Israel, but according to Paul, under the new covenant, the beneficiaries up under Christ's New Testament are those who shall be children by faith. So Paul did a very, if you read the book of Romans, it's very interesting what Paul did. Paul showed the Jews, he told them, look, you have no reason to be bragging based on your bloodline Why? He said, because really the promise of the covenant was given before Moses. It was actually given in Abraham time. So therefore, you know, there's like, oh, look, we could be saved because we're keeping the law. Paul told them, no, you can't be saved based on you keeping the law. He said, because, look, Abraham, under his dispensation, the law wasn't even there yet. So, you know, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed for him his faithfulness. So, therefore, the way that we become heirs under Christ's covenant is by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, therefore, by an obedient faith, which means we are baptized. And the beneficiaries under Christ's will and covenant, the blessings that we receive is listed out in Ephesians chapter 1, where you see a whole laundry list of spiritual blessings that only for people who are in Christ Jesus, and ultimately the blessings that we receive is eternal life and life with Christ in heaven. But you know, I want to break it down a bit, because something that's interesting that Paul tells us in a book of Romans is that you have to understand, see, who we are in Christ Jesus is actually a continuation of who true Israel is under the Mosaic covenant. See, true Israel was the righteous remnant under the Mosaic covenant. So really, Christians today are actually true Israel, and that's why Paul referred to us as spiritual Jews. So therefore, we actually have the same promise that was given to Abraham applies to us, actually. So therefore, the promise that God gave Abraham way back in Genesis was for Abraham's children. And guess what? If we have faith in Christ, we are Abraham's children. So the promise of inheritance actually don't go back to Moses. It actually go back way to Abraham, see? So therefore, Paul lets us know, if you want to become beneficiaries up under God's will, you have to become a child of Abraham. And the way you become a child of Abraham, according to Paul, is to do the same thing Abraham did.
Yes.
And that means have faith in God. But notice one thing about faith, because we hear talk in the world today that says all you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. When Paul talks about faith, he speaks of an obedient faith. In other words, not a belief faith. A faith where all you got to do is believe. But he talks about an obedient faith. In Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 16, at the beginning and the end of the letter, he says obedience of faith. So therefore, it's not that we only have to have faith in Christ. We actually have to have the faith of Christ. See, so therefore, when we are obedient to Christ, that's how we become children of Abraham, and therefore we are heirs according to the promise. Very, very good question. Thank you so much for that.
Yes.
Oh, you're welcome. I have a back question to that before anyone responds. Because there are phases in the Bible. If we're talking about the last will and testament, and you're talking about obedient faith, in the different times of the Bible, when we read a commandment, I want to know, is every commandment in the Bible binding today? And if not, what are the phases in the Bible where we would know who God is talking to as far as what to abide in, what commandments to go by?
Well, here's a good, it's in the book of Revelations, and we think about going to heaven. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, here's where all of us should stand if we want to save our souls. He says in John chapter 14 and verse 1, John chapter 14, verse number 1, beginning at verse number 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, this is Christ speaking. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, notice this. Thomas jumped in on verse number 5 of John 14. He said, Thomas said, unto whom, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus answered him in verse number 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And then Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us, and it satisfieth us. In verse number 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and ye have not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus talking to us. Now, when we follow the basic instruction that he has given us, and sister, you say you talk as though you've been doing them, you're interested in them, and it's hard to find people that even speak in love and peace and are trying to reach out and grab hold to Jesus and keep hold of him. Right. If you follow in his footsteps and obey his commandments, you will be blessed beyond measure. And you'll have the Father in your life. And you'll have the Son in your life. And you'll be ready to go on into heaven. That's a wonderful thing. I love that question. Are there any other preachers that might have something to say? Is there anyone, Brother Johnson or somebody from
Brother Parker?
Yes, sir. Paul Addition, Church of Christ.
Yeah.
Come on. Yes, sir.
William. I wanted to say some things as a regard answering something specifically that she mentioned in her question. And I think her question has to do with are we still supposed to be obeying the, quote, Ten Commandments or the Old Testament commandments, or are we obey the New Testament commandments? And the thing is, we do have to make a distinction. The Old Covenant is passed away. It had been fulfilled when Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. Even the prophecies that were mentioned when Brother Parker before was talking about how that the Holy Ghost was poured out on all flesh. That was a fulfillment of prophecy that God made through the prophet Joel in Joel 2:28. And so those things occurred as a matter of completing. Fulfill means to complete or to fill up. It completed the Old Testament and its prophecies. We live under the New Testament covenant. and we are to obey the law of the New Testament. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 9 that a testament is a force after men are dead. The law of Christ came into force after Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose the third day. The moment he died, his law, his covenant, last will and covenant, came into effect. The old covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 8, was done away with. It passed away. If there was no, if there was no need for a new testament, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have died. Now, in Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse number 19, the Apostle Paul is addressing this, the commentary that Brother Parker the Fourth mentioned earlier about faith. This is a law that is based on and according to faith, that is, belief and obedience to God. It is the same law that God judged Abraham by. He was faithful, and we are children of Abraham. We are children of Abraham because we are faithful to God, and we are heirs of the promise that God made to Abraham that his seed will be blessed and that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The New Testament doctrine is to be preached to all nations and every man, and that's a fulfillment of a prophecy. Now, in verse 19, Paul says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. What law is he talking about? He's talking about that law that was according to the motions of the flesh. It was about the law of sin and death. The law of Moses was not perfect, but it had regulation, and it was a law of sin and death. You would die because of sin under the law of Moses. At the witness, the mouth of two or three witnesses, you could be stoned to death for certain sins that you were caught in. It was a law that also pointed out that when men sinned, they entered into eternal death. Mm-hmm. No man, no flesh was justified for eternal life under the old law because God had not given the provision for it. The provision for eternal life is under the new covenant, which is under Christ Jesus, because he is the perfect sacrifice for man's sin, and only his blood can remove man's sin. Animal blood has no power to remove man's sin. Therefore, all who died under the Old Testament died with their sins. They were not justified by the old law. They were justified through faith in God, faith in the promise of God, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise that God made to the Old Testament faithful. So, he says here that law was given to those who were under that law. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, that same law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Man experienced sin under the old law. He experienced sin through the motions of the flesh. But man had no remedy for the removal of that sin. So he can't be justified by that law. He says, but now, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Who is that? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So there's no justification for eternal salvation under the old law itself, but it's under the new law. But what about those who died under the old law?
Yes.
In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible tells us that in discussing the very subject that we started out with about baptism, the writer of Peter rehearses the matter, and he says in verse number 18, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, whom also by the same power, the power of God, he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who were formerly disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us. That type is baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So Jesus went into prison and preached to those who had been all their lifetime subject to bondage. What is that talking about? When Jesus died on the cross, he went into hell and he preached the gospel of salvation to the Old Testament faithful, took with him his blood. He is the high priest of our profession. Hebrews chapter 9. He took with him his blood. His blood redeemed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Noah and all of the faithful under the Old Testament. They are redeemed. Their sins have been washed away and removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, his blood reached back to all those faithful under the old law, as it reaches forward to us under the new law. So that subject to any of the commandments or ordinances of the old law. We are under the new law, the new covenant of Christ. It is the new, it is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, and it is the testament that is in force. The Old Testament is no longer in force.
Okay.
Sister, you have something more to say, sister?
No, I just want to hear that distinction, because I hear a lot of people say how they're going to live by the 10 and die by the 10, and a lot of people, that when they run into a commandment, they automatically think that they're supposed to go by it. But that to me, as a member of the church, that disrespects the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, because
Amen.
He died on the cross for us, and his last will and testament is binding and active to this day, so we should respect and be going by his last will and testament. So I just wanted to have that clarification, and Brother Williams did a wonderful job, as well as Brother Parker.
And that's a good point. You know, one thing that I wanted to mention too, you know, if, you know, well, whose law should I follow? You know, if I'm in one country, right, I'm going to abide by the laws that's in that jurisdiction. Now, if I go to another country, I'm going to abide to the laws that's in that jurisdiction. Now,
right,
this, we are in the kingdom of God, right? So therefore, the laws that I'm going to abide by is the laws of the kingdom of Christ. See, the laws of the kingdom of Israel in the old days, you know, God gave that law for a very specific purpose. And now, but see, now under the new covenant, Christ said, I'm going to build my church, you know, and I'll give Peter the keys to this kingdom. So now the jurisdiction that we are up under is Christ's jurisdiction. See, he's the king of the kingdom. Once we are added to the kingdom, also known as the church, see, now we are in this jurisdiction. And the laws of this jurisdiction, we see, were laid down by none other than the apostles, and they received it from the Holy Spirit, who received it from Christ, who received it from God. That's why Christ told his apostles before he died that I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you another comforter. He shall guide you into all truth. And that's the important part about the Holy Spirit. One of the important things about the Holy Spirit is that Christ gave the apostles the authority to set rules, to bind law for the kingdom.
Yes.
So therefore, that's why it's important for the church to continue in the apostles' doctrine. So whose law I'm going to be up under? I'm going to be under the law that's laid down by the apostles, which they received from the Holy Spirit, who got it from Christ himself. So therefore, in the church today, in Christ's kingdom, we are to be bound by the law of Christ. You know, with that being said, we're not bound by any other law but the law of Christ. But let me say this, you know, while we're talking about the word law, is that it's important that we don't become legalistic either like the Pharisees did, because the Bible really isn't meant to be a rule book as many people make it. You know, so it is not about trying to keep law and that kind of thing. Ultimately, what we have to do is obey God's law, but the way that we are saved and justified is by faith in him. And the way that we are saved is by grace through faith, not obedience to law. But in order to experience his grace, you have to be obedient to his gospel. And that's really what having an obedient faith is. Just as Christ died, was buried, and rose from his sin, he rose from death, rather, we die in water baptism. We're buried in the liquid tomb of baptism, and we rise again, new creatures, free from our sin. See, so that's what obedience to the gospel is. Once we're obedient to the gospel, God, like, transplants us, I think the Bible tells us the word it used, it transplants us and places us into the kingdom of his dear son, which is the church of Christ. So therefore, we are bound by the rules, and that's why it's important for the churches today to follow the apostles' doctrine. Well, there are so many different churches that exist today. Let me say that there's really only one church that's in existence today. There are many religious organizations, but there's only one church. And for us to be saved is not about joining a religious organization. It's about being added to Christ's church. So therefore, what church is Christ? What church is Christ? The church that belonged to Christ is the one who continued in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:47. So therefore, if we continue by the precepts of the apostles as well as the examples that's laid down by the apostles, then that's the law that we follow. Amen?
Amen. And when we study it, we find out by us walking in the footsteps of Jesus, he came and built that path for us to walk on. See, this is the Christian dispensation. All men have a right to the tree of life. All men have a right. And see, in the book of Revelation, in the 21st chapter, we find out about what God was talking about in Revelation 21:7-8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving,
and
the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all life shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wait, God got it fixed. See, and he's going to save, you know, that second death we don't want. When we obey the gospel, we give up all sins that we had. When we obey the gospel, we rise up out of the water, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we walk. And if we stumble, we repent. We stop doing it and confess it and move on. Forget about those things which are behind. Press toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And sister, we want to know that we praise you. We love you for coming in. See, Jesus said, I would that you love one another as I have loved you. We got to have that love. And for you to keep on wanting to stay in the footsteps of Jesus and save your soul, really don't get any better than that. You're
I'm
a wonderful individual. Yes, ma'am. And we want you to keep calling in. Get some of your friends to call in, too. Now, you were going to say something. I cut you off. What did you want to say?
No, I just want to say, you know, I'm trying the best that I can, but it, you know, I get tears in my eyes. I know that, you know, you have to, you know, knock the dust under your feet and you know, keep on moving because it's so many souls to share the gospel with. But, you know, I get tears in my eyes because a lot of people, a lot of churches, rather, have succumbed to the word of God, and they are more concerned with the word of man. And, people that I've grown up with, people that watch me grown up, you know, to see them succumb you know, now doing things contrary to the word of God. I know what, you know, lies ahead is the road to destruction. And I don't want to go down that road. And I don't want people I know to go down that road. But that's one of the main reasons why I ask. Not just for my benefit, but for whoever is listening to this radio program, they must know that every commandment in the Bible is not for everybody. And just because you're doing something you feel so-called in the name of Jesus does not mean that there's authorization from Christ in order for you to do it. And I feel that when you hear that song, Give Me That Old Time Religion, as I was growing up, as a young preschooler going to Holland Heights, the preachers was not as passive as I see today. When I say a lot of people have succumbed, not only are they free moral agents, they chose to stay somewhere where the building is leaking. But I must say something about I must say something about the preachers. I know that growing up, I was taught that preachers are supposed to proclaim their voice, and they're supposed to prick the hearts of the unbelievers, is what the word says. And how can you prick the heart if you're being passive? And I don't want, you know, I even though as a child, those behind whoopings, they hurt, and I cried. But now looking back, I can respect, I can respect the reason why I got that behind whooping.
Amen.
And I'm grateful
Amen.
Looking back on all those behind whoopings, even though I may not have understood back then. But looking back, it made me the person that I am today. And I
Amen.
Feel like
Amen.
when we are in worship, that we are not there to be entertained. If the message needs to whoop me to wake me up, even though the truth may hurt, I want to feel that belt, because later on, as the whips go down, it's gonna stay within my heart. That word, and that's what we need again. We need strong backbones of men that are preaching the doctrine of Christ, because too much water is getting up. You talk about water. I'm talking about water now. Too much water is getting up in the church. Looking at the catastrophes that we've had, like Hurricane Katrina and the flood that was just there in Louisiana again.
Yeah.
I don't know how to swim, so I don't need nobody trying to bring water up in the church.
Yes, no.
Because
amen.
I'm already holding on to the lifesaver that I know it to be true, and that's the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
So I'm speaking to the preachers right now, please. Give me that old-time religion where every message would prick my heart and give me a reason to really think about my life and reevaluate what I'm going through, because you have to really look at yourself. In order to be assured that you have love in your heart to have someone to follow you by example.
I just want
to say that, and I know the preachers on this panel, I have so much love for every one of you. Some of you I have known a long time, and I'm just so grateful that this spiritual warfare, I'm not in it by myself. There's people that really have love to want to spread the gospel, and I'm just so thankful for this radio station and whoever is out there listening. I mean, this program is out of love. Please let everybody know that every brother on this panel is not here on the panel in vain, that they're here in love. And I say that because I know you, and I love you, and I thank you for all these years sticking to the true gospel, and I just pray that more listeners will come. We can't get discouraged. God gives the increase, and he's gonna bless us, because we're doing the right things. You brothers are doing the right things, and it's out of love.
Amen.
And there has never been a time I've heard any one of you say anything contrary. And some things I feel that belt, and it gives me a reason to think. And My cousin, Brother Horace Robbins, I felt that belt many of times, and I know it's out of love, and I love him dearly, and that's what we need. People need to feel that belt. They understand that with their parents growing up, and with Big Mama and all those people that whooped their behind back then, they understood.
Yeah.
They understand that whooping, so we need to understand that this is serious. This is about the father, and this is about discipline. And I just appreciate the brothers that still have that strong backbone to really prick the hearts of the unbelievers. And I'm going to keep tagging as many people as I can, because this is a wonderful thing. God is going to give the increase, and I know that he is going to bless all of you and this radio station. So I'm not worried. I'm just going to keep trying to bring as many people as I can to you so they can hear it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And keep calling them and keep trying to get them to come on with us. But, you know, I haven't heard from Brother Johnson yet of the Par Addition Church of Christ. Brother Johnson, Brother Williams, the minister that is in Wharton of the Par Addition Church of Christ. And I hope you hold on a little bit, sister. And is Brother Johnson available now?
Yeah, I'm sitting right here just listening to what she was saying.
Yes,
hi, Brother Johnson.
I've been knowing Keisha a long time. And
we go
way from Brookshire. And I commend her for wanting to know more about the Word of God and sharing it with other people. But I have a statement that I want to bring to the church that needs to be brought out to the brotherhood.
Amen.
A lot of times our brethren hold on to tradition too much.
Yeah.
It's not tradition what's going to save a man. It's the gospel what's going to save a man.
Yes.
Amen.
Got nothing done. But the gospel will save anyone that will obey it.
Mm-hmm.
And he...
Amen.
5, verse 8 and 9, the Bible said, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. He became the author and finisher of our salvation, to them that obey him.
Yes.
See, the key to the whole Bible is to be obedient to God, Son, and follow what he says.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament also makes Christians.
Amen.
It doesn't make Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Jehovah Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, or Presbyterian, and go on and on. It doesn't make all of
them.
As much as I read the Bible, I never found a Baptist church in the Bible.
No.
I never found a church in the Bible.
No.
I never found a Jehovah Witness church in the Bible, or Seventh-day Adventist, or Kingdom Hall. All I have written out the New Testament is the church of Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
When I built my church, he wasn't talking about a physical building. He merely hung up on building. And some of our own brethren are hung up on that.
Yeah.
Some of our own brethren, this is my church. There's nowhere in the scripture. The church does not belong to us preachers.
Amen.
It belongs to Christ.
Amen.
And we belong to Christ that has obeyed the gospel.
Amen.
See, if we are not obeying the gospel, then we don't belong to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The problem is men want to be seen by other men, and it's not going to work that way. God set up a spiritual kingdom.
Yeah.
And every man must come in the same way the apostles taught.
Mm-hmm.
All men must baptized in water.
Amen.
Not the Holy Ghost and all that stuff that they're talking about.
Yeah.
When the eunuch was told, the Bible said he began the same scripture teaching Jesus.
Preaching Jesus.
Huh?
Amen.
He preached.
Amen.
He didn't preach Paul. He didn't preach Peter and James and John. He preached Jesus. That's what we are to be, is Jesus. See, we need to get into the Bible and stay in the Bible and learn what the Bible says and quit acting all crazy over the Bible like that. Because what we are doing, we are causing division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. That's brought up into the church.
Mm-hmm.
As Sister Keisha said, water coming in, the water will drown you if you don't know how to swim right. You see, drowning men.
Yeah.
Men are drowning in sin, Brother Parker.
Yeah.
They are so bad that they can't swim their way out of it, huh?
Amen.
Man need a guide. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, man need a guide.
Amen.
Other words, he needs someone to lead him.
Yeah.
He can't lead himself.
Can't do it.
I don't care who he is. I don't give a care if he's the president of the United States. I don't give a care if he's the king of England. He needs Jesus to lead him to heaven.
Amen.
You see, the Bible tells us how to go, but we ain't following the right way. We on the wrong road. We on the road of destruction, instead of on the road of heaven.
Yeah.
Man.
If you don't do something, check your Bible out and see what it says. You see, a lot of folk playing with the Bible. They playing with God. Don't you know that God will hurt you when you do things foolishly?
Yes, Lord.
You know better. Mm-hmm. We're not stupid and we're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We just gonna do what we do. But let me tell you something. We got to face Jesus in that final judgment. I got to look at the judgment now. I'm talking about in that last judgment when he called everybody in account.
Yes.
And we stand that form. You better pray that you in Christ. Because if you're not in Christ, hell, lift up your eyes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's God's faith.
Hell, you do.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You got to get out of God's faith. Sinners cannot please God.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't care how good you are, how good you think you are, how much money you can put in a collection plate, or whatever the situation is. If it's not in Christ, you can close the book that day.
Yeah,
the Bible will be open, and the book of life will be open on every human being that's born in this world and without accountability. The Bible tells us must be in the church of Christ.
That's it.
Right. Yes, Lord.
It rises up through the watery grave of baptism.
Amen.
The Bible
says
in Romans, the sixth chapter, beginning at verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Christ was baptized into his death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead, we should also walk in the new. He got folk that said they've been baptized and still living in sin. Something wrong with them.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of folk still in sin and never been baptized right. He's still dead.
Amen.
He got to come out of sin and leave sin alone.
Amen.
The Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Yeah.
God sits on the right hand. Like Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you're not obeying the God, Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. And Mark the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 15 and 16, and he said, and Jesus said unto them, preach the gospel, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. The Bible says that. Not the preacher.
Amen.
When it comes to Christ, you gotta start listening to Christ. Quit guessing what Christ said. Open your Bible and read it for yourself. I have been saying since I've been in the Church of Christ over 40 years, I've been saying, read your Bible. Open it up. That's our biggest problem. We won't open the Bible. We pin it on the preacher. And the devil knows this. And so the devil said, well, since they don't pin it on the preacher, I'm going to keep
lying
to him.
Yeah.
You see, when we listen to the preacher and don't listen to God, somebody's wrong. And we know God ain't wrong.
Amen.
So the preacher is wrong. If the preacher is not preaching out in the word of God, the truth, you're waiting to tell him.
Yes.
Yes.
In John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify thy word. By truth.
Amen.
John 8:31-32, Jesus said to him, Jude, reborn him. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you shall know the truth.
Amen.
You don't know the truth, brother. You better get with somebody that can teach you the truth.
Amen.
We
don't need
to a Bible story. We need to teach you the truth.
Amen.
Yes. Brother John,
the truth and then teaching the Bible.
Amen. The sister, I think she had something to say a minute. Did you have something,
amen,
ma'am?
Well, yes, I just wanted to say I appreciate that, Brother James. I am reading, before I leave, I'm reading Hebrews 4, and I wanted Brother Lewis Parker IV, summarize verses 1-6. If you can read this and summarize verses 1-7.
Okay.
Are you there, Brother Parker? Brother Parker?
Or Brother William?
Brother Johnson? Brother William?
Yeah,
Johnson?
Yeah, yeah, we're here.
Yeah, Brother Heath.
Mm-hmm. Listen, she mentioned Hebrews chapter 4. It says, therefore, since a promise remained of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it.
Mm-hmm.
What is this promise that remains of entering into his rest? Well, we've been talking about it. Brother Johnson just got through preaching about it. It's about trying to go to heaven. That's the rest. We're not going to rest until we are at rest in faith and obedience to God after this life. Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, henceforth they rest from their labor and their works do follow them. Listen, you got to work for the Lord. You got to work in Christ. You got to work out your soul salvation. And you got to die faithful to Christ.
Amen.
When we leave this life, we're going to another life. It's an eternal existence. But depending on how we die, it depends on where we will spend that eternal existence. Some will spend eternal existence in eternal damnation, and some will spend it in eternal life. The Bible says many, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, many shall go the way of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But
Amen.
Few will find eternal life. Because only few are going to go the straight way, the narrow way, the straight way.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to realize that Paul, the writer of Hebrews here, is saying that we still have that rest. The Israelites, they were a physical, fleshly nation. They were given a physical homeland, but that was
Amen.
Not their spiritual homeland. Remember, as Brother Parker IV indicated, it goes back to faith. Abraham, the promise was made to Abraham. We
Amen.
Are of Abraham through faith and obedience to the gospel of Christ, because Christ is that seed that God would bring eternal life and redemption to all men. Jesus is that seed. And we, as children of God, being baptized into Christ, we are Abraham's seed, and we are Christ's. So
yes.
This is what he's talking about here in Hebrews chapter 4, that we got to We got to remain faithful. If we don't remain faithful, we're going to die like that first generation that left Egypt. We're going to die in the wilderness of sin. We will never make heaven our home. That's the promised land. So he said, right now, to all of us, to all men, listen, God commands and requires every man to repent of sin. He is not going to overlook sin. He's not going to give a provisional salvation for sin. There is no purgatory. There is no second chance. When we die, we prepare for heaven or we prepare for hell.
That's it.
And when Jesus opens the record and when Jesus opens up the book of life, he already has our reward prepared. When he comes to judge the world in unrighteousness, he already has a reward for the unrighteous. He already has a reward for the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be faithful unto death. If we don't, God cannot save us for eternal life.
Okay.
Man.
Thank you.
Sister, did you have anything else to say? Yes,
no,
yes,
I'm just so overjoyed. Like, it just feels so refreshing to hear the word shared and broke down. And you know, I'm gonna be real. I was a teenage mother, and I had wound up getting my GED, and I have college behind me, but I don't have a bachelor's degree. I don't have a master's degree, and I see a lot of people. Even that work at the most educated places with all these degrees and things like that, but they have an ignorant mind when it comes to the word. I'm not understanding it because they can, you know, study computer science and even, you know, become neurosurgeons and things like that, but and read those types of books in order to get those degrees, to get those types of jobs. But when it comes to the Bible, I'm just not understanding because it help me out, brothers, because I know that it says that even the simplest mind, the Bible, you can understand it. Even the simplest mind can understand the Bible. So why is it when, you know, people have all these books on their shelves and all these degrees, why is it when it comes to the Bible, the book that's made for the smallest to the oldest, why is it when it comes to the Bible they don't understand? That baffles me. I just don't understand that because it's easy for me to read. It makes a lot of sense. Why we should be following Christ. There's, you know, just like Brother Robin said, if it belonged to God, wouldn't it be in the Bible at least one time? And if I'm not seeing it in the Bible, then it must not be meant for us to go by. So it's just refreshing to hear the panel stick with this one book because it's, you know, people talk about missing books and all these other philosophers out there, but the philosophers did not carry their own cross, die on their own cross, was crucified or anything like that for us. So God created man. They're just men. So it makes sense to go by the creator, and that's God. And
that's intelligent.
It just makes sense. And I'm just a girl from a small community in Houston Acres home, and with my GED in some college, but I'm grateful to God that He has educated me enough to be as strong as I am. I mean, I can always educate myself more in the Bible, but I'm just grateful that He has given me the knowledge that I have now.
Yes.
Amen. And you know why? You know why He has done that? He has done that because you are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and you have learned to love. Jesus said, "I would that you love one another as I have loved you." And that's what Christ, as long as you can keep that love for the truth, and those that are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, you're going to be in good condition all the time. And remember this, God took a rib from the man and created the woman, giving her a desire. And given her, and she has a desire. Now, you have learned what it's all about. You said you had a kid when you were young and so forth, but you learned about that. Now, you have a desire for the Jesus Christ in your life. Yes. And you're holding on to Jesus. Amen? And if that's the whole thing. You've given all over to Jesus. The woman should have a desire for the man. God gave a woman a desire for the man. And you've learned the hard way. And now you see the truth in your life. And so now what you are doing, your desire is for Christ. Because I noticed when you call in, you're asking for some more improvement on that you already know, that you can go closer.
Yes, sir.
You're blessed.
Yes, sir.
And we're just so happy to have you on. Hope you call more often. Get your friends to call with you. Tell them you'll be calling in with them, because we need these kinds of discussions, because people may be taping them now, and others will come on. You even ask God that, believe that God's going to bless this program to even get bigger. Please, in Jesus' name, let that happen. Amen.
Yes.
Brother Johnson, you still there? Brother Will?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's about time to wrap it up. Man, I don't got happy now.
Closing down, I'm going to leave her with this. I like to leave her with this thought. Keep walking in the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's all you need to do. Keep walking in the faith.
Yes.
The devil ain't going to quit messing with you because you're in Christ. That's when that's when it began. Not after, but after you get in Christ, then He picks on you more, because He didn't want it in the first place.
That's right.
But now since you in, now you got the shield of faith in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Sure. You got the sword and everything.
Yeah.
Now you can fight the good fight of faith. You got the word of God, you got the word of truth, you got the word of love.
And
all you got to do is pick it up daily and go for it for yourself.
Yes.
And keep on marching like Jesus tell you to.
Amen.
Pick up the cross and walk with Jesus. That's the only way that's in Christ can go to heaven.
That's right.
We can't lay down and say, well, I quit because I'm tired. See, I heard an expression one time. A man said on one of his movies, man, I'm so tired. He said, a man that's dead is tired, but a man that's alive should keep on going. So that made a lot of sense. So what I'm saying to you, teacher, you're still on this earth. Just keep on going.
Yes.
In the Lord. God can carry you when mother and daddy can't carry you.
Yes.
Amen.
See, yes,
you,
sir.
You got the right father to carry you all the way.
Yes.
You got the right husband to be by your side.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
You got the right one to
Jesus
take you all the way. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Way.
Amen.
There's nobody else can take you nowhere but Jesus Christ. He can take you from one end of the world to the other end. And all Jesus is trying to tell us when we get in is to hold on to his unchanging hand.
Yes.
Amen.
I will lead you on into heaven.
Amen.
See, he's the one been there.
Amen.
See, Jesus has been to both places. He's been to hell and he's been to heaven. Psalms 139, verse number 8. So, so if you want to go to heaven, you're going to do what he tells you. If you don't want to go to heaven, then you just want to be lost. And there's no middle ground with
Amen.
God.
Mm-hmm.
God don't. I don't give a care how many Muslims and all these other religious folks come out here with their different types of titles. It does not matter. I noticed something about all these religious folks. They never mention
you're
going to get to heaven. They never mention it.
Yeah.
You ever notice it?
Man.
You ever mention it? I'm trying to mention when a person died, laying in a casket.
Yeah.
And it's that, well, so-and-so, I'm going to heaven now. But why are you on earth to never mention it? But the church of Christ mentioned heaven while we're still living. You want to go to heaven, talk to God. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is sitting in heaven now. John 6:52. I'm in the same place I was at first. You can't beat that.
Amen.
Wanna go? Faithful.
Yes.
Be faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. He said, I'll give you a crown of life. What more do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What more do you want?
Amen.
Now, Jesus is so great and so good to it when he said in Revelation 14:13, he's telling us right there, if he's going to give that to you, even after you die, it's still you're going to get it. You can get rest from your labor.
Yeah.
And he's going to give you eternal life. See, you got eternal life right now in Christ at 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. You already got it. All you got to do is just keep it.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. You know what that Holy Spirit represents? Eternal life.
Yes.
That's what that Holy Spirit is for. And if you start saying it, God just pull it back. Uh-huh. Stop saying
it. Amen.
Because I just take the mic. You don't want it.
Amen.
If you start to sing, you don't want it.
No eternal life.
Yes,
and you walk around dead and don't even know. We got a lot of folks walking around in dead and don't even know. Life begins in Christ.
Amen.
Now, look at this one. I'm getting ready to close on this one. When Peter preached that masterful sermon on the day of Pentecost, and everybody got baptized that day, the 3,000 got baptized that day. All of them became alive.
Amen.
They were all dead there, Brother Williams. They were sitting up at a house dead. Huh?
Amen.
Alive after they got in the watery grave of baptism, because the Bible said then God gave them the Holy Spirit. He gave them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. That's why I know you have to wear the name Christ. You got to wear that name at the judgment.
That's right.
You can't be wearing Baptists and Methodists and Catholics and Jehovah's. And I'm trying to tell my friends that. I said, look, you can't wear those names according to Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men. You can't be saved on a Baptist place.
Amen.
You can't wear a Baptist name and say that's Christ's name. You don't see that in the book. We got folk who want to be Baptists. But they want to hold on to Christ. You can't do it. You can't be a Catholic and hold on to Jesus Christ. You either come right or go wrong. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm just too plain.
Yes.
We done heard the gospel tonight.
Yes.
Radio land, I know somebody out there besides Keisha Horton has heard the gospel tonight. All you have to do is hear it, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. And the Lord said,
He will add you to the church. You cannot join the church of Christ. I repeat,
Amen.
You cannot join the church of Christ.
Amen.
If the Lord don't add
Amen.
You, become a member
Amen.
Of it.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. God is the only one who can do it. We need to follow what God said and quit listening to no good preacher that
yes.
don't study the word of God. If that man don't bring this Bible to you with the truth in it, then don't even listen to it. Don't even let him in your house. But he's been in God.
Amen.
Send him on his way because he got no business at your door.
All right.
Got a lot of folks letting folks in their house and then teaching them wrong, and then we can't get them out of that mess.
Mm.
Amen.
Huh?
Yep.
Amen.
People are leaving here left and right, Brother Parker, dying every day.
Yep.
And they ain't in
Christ. Yes.
Huh?
Yep.
When you go to
yes.
the funeral and you look in the back of the obituary paper and say, well, so-and-so gone, but he wasn't in Christ. He was a Baptist, he was a Catholic. Oh, they go on down the line. I haven't hardly seen too many people in the Lord's church in the back of the paper. Very rare.
Amen.
You almost got them on your finger.
Amen.
It's saying,
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
God tell us. God gave
yes.
us a book, a great book, Brother William, the greatest book in the universe.
Yes.
It's got college degrees. It got more knowledge than high school degree.
Yeah.
Save souls. And men still won't pick it up. See, the doctor
right.
only can do so much.
Amen.
But we still got to call on Jesus when the problem gets heavy.
Amen.
Oh,
Amen.
Lord. Oh, we crying
yes.
now. You see, brother, let me tell you something. I have seen my own brother cry. And that's why I pray for him. Because I said, Lord, they need some help.
Yes.
They need some help, Lord. Sometimes I have to catch myself, Brother Parker, when I be crying
Amen.
And praying. I cry out loud to God in my own house.
Yes.
Lord,
yes.
one more time, because it's been to go. We know you're calling us out of here.
Yeah.
You call us up, and we're getting ready to be judged, and on our way to hell, and we ain't got it right down here.
Yes,
see,
sir.
Attention down here. Get in Christ while you got a chance.
Amen.
Don't wait till you
Amen.
Die. On your deathbed, I'm a, well, Brother William, come pray for me. Brother Parker, come pray for me. Brother
Amen.
John, come pray for me. It's too late.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Too late. We can't pray for you then. We
That's
can't pray
right.
you into heaven.
No.
You got to obey
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, obey me. Do you know what obey means? To do what I tell you.
Yeah.
To follow what
Amen.
I say. Let me tell you something, brethren. It's going to cost you something. Now, you might as well face it.
All right.
I read over there in the book of Acts the other day, Brother William. Acts the 14th chapter and the 15th chapter, and then I drop back to the 11th chapter. And it tells me that it's going to cost me something to stay in the kingdom of God.
Mm.
It's going to cost me my life almost.
Yes.
To stay with
Amen.
God, Brother Parker. You're going to get your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
You're going to get
Amen.
Your thoughts.
That's
you're going to get lied on.
Amen.
But you can
yeah.
have it. You got Jesus Christ. Remember that the John said in John 15, John 15 beginning at verse 18 through 21, what did Jesus say? If they hate me, they're going to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Jesus
mm-hmm.
ain't going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hate you.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Get ready for that. Don't be talking about, well, you know, that's my best friend. No, you ain't got no friends now. You got nothing but enemies.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Please believe what
Amen.
I tell you. You got enemies. Even in the Church of Christ, you got them. Don't think everybody that's smiling in your face and grinning at you, he your friend.
Yeah.
He your enemy.
Watching.
Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, Brother William, we already experienced that right here in Morton
yeah.
and other places.
Yes, sir.
They laugh at us. They talk about us now. We're nothing but dogs now.
Yeah.
All right, in Wooden and other places. We ain't about
Man.
Nothing now, Brother Parker. Just telling the truth.
Yeah.
They come, Brother William and Brother John, they think they know the whole Bible. It's not that we know the whole Bible, we know the truth.
That's it.
Amen.
I know the truth.
Yes.
Jesus said I can do that.
And we teach
the truth. And people get mad. Don't pull over there like Brother Williams and Brother Johnson. Because, man, that's all they ever talk about, the Church of Christ. We don't understand where we live at.
Yeah.
That's all they ever talk about, the Church of Christ, the Church of Christ. Well, what else are we supposed to talk about? You tell me.
Mm. Okay.
Huh?
Amen.
But we gotta be strong, brother.
Yeah.
Don't let Satan get a foothold on you. Let him go ahead and talk about you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, is it coming? When Jesus comes back, he says, I'm coming back with my reward, Brother William.
Yeah.
I want mine. I don't know about you, but I want mine.
Amen.
I want mine, Brother Paul. I want my reward from Jesus.
Me too.
Huh? But Jesus, you're telling me, I'm going to be jumping for joy. You talk about a man that never walked, I'm going to be running so fast, you can take me by the back and
right.
Pull me back up.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's what
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to see. I'm trying to tell you, brother, to stay strong in the Lord. Stay strong in the Lord, teacher. Don't give up.
Amen.
You've been on each other a long time. So you know
mm-hmm.
how to sit. Ever since you know me, never give up. Just
Amen.
Keep on fighting by the faith.
Amen.
Hold on to God.
Amen.
Brother William, hold on. Brother Parker, hold on. God's got a reward
Amen.
For everybody in this world as well. Now, if you want it, you're going to have to go through something to get it. Now, it ain't easy.
Yes.
It ain't right, but you got to hold on.
Yes.
That's why God gave us a book. And you know what? God give us a privilege to talk
Amen.
To him anytime
Amen.
We want to.
Amen.
Amen.
It ain't no special time we can bow down to God. We can bow down to God at 12 midnight. We can
Amen.
Bow down to God in the morning.
Yeah.
I have woke up, Brother William, Brother Parker, praying to my God for you guys.
Thank
I
you.
Pray for you, Brother Parker.
Thank
a million nights, so
yeah.
I'm praying. My wife said, who you talking to? And I'm talking to my God for my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah,
Amen.
I'm praying for you. I remember this morning, Brother William, I woke up, it was 1 o'clock this morning, I started praying.
Yes.
You know what I got through? It was 3 o'clock.
Mm.
I was still
Amen.
Praying, Brother Parker.
All right.
Yes.
I know God here prayer. But I'm trying to tell you, hold on. I know what God can do. Don't be stuck. Well, Brother John, you said it well. God heard what I said. You know what? We got a friend here living in Morton. He had a little problem.
Yeah.
I kept on praying about it. Now he got
Amen.
God got the problem out of his way. He moving on. Huh?
Yeah.
See what I mean? Mm-hmm. All we got to do is trust God.
That's right.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is I can't make it. Yes, you can. Who is on your side?
Yes.
God is on our side.
Yes.
We got God. That's who we got.
Amen.
The children of Israel had God as long as they looked up to him.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is focus on God. Sister
Amen.
Keith, you know, you've been knowing that a long time. I'm going to tell you again, Keith. Hold
mm-hmm.
on to God there. Not on the man's hand, because man can't meet you nowhere. But God can
lead
you on.
Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
This Bible is right. I'm telling you from experience, I've been in many situations. Cried out to God. Lord, have mercy on the churches of Christ. And you know what God
Amen.
Said, you know what, Brother Parker? Believe this. 2017
yeah.
coming up, ain't it?
Yeah.
God
yeah.
can
yeah.
do it on the door for us now.
All right.
He's been to open the door, Brother Parker. Now, you listen to what I'm saying. You know why?
Yeah.
Because we're doing the right thing. We're
yeah.
telling the world about Jesus. That wasn't going to make it right
yeah,
for
that's
us.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Tell people about Jesus, it's going to be right. God go open
yes.
the door and says, hold on. Watch what you're going to do. You say, oh, God opened that door. I didn't know it was open.
Amen.
The door. Keep on preaching the word. Keep on praying.
Yes.
Keep on doing
yes.
what's right. My mother used
Amen.
To tell me, Brother Wayne, I never would forget. He said, son, write or follow you wherever you go. I believe that, too. I believe that, Brother Parker.
Yes.
My mother used to tell me that when I was a little boy, growing up. He said, son, whatever you do in this life, do what's right.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
He kept that in my mind so long. I said, Mother, you know what? Here I am, 63 years old, going on 64. And you know what? That word's still in my heart today, Brother Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? It's still in my heart.
Because
what your mother taught you, see, my dad, I grew up without a father, Brother William. I didn't have a father. But, boy, my mother, boy, she had a mind, boy.
Amen.
Whoever thought of her gave her a good mind. Because she used to tell me all the time, son, follow after righteousness. I heard it so much. I said, Mother, I know that after what you're going to tell me. Follow after righteousness. I heard it from grade school all the way to high school.
Yeah.
Huh? Brother, follow after God.
Man.
Quit following these preachers.
Yes,
these preachers going to hell if they don't get it right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Going to hell, Brother Parker. You and your son and Brother Horace Robinson and Brother William and myself and Brother your son, we got to preach the word, whether these other preachers preaching at all.
That's right.
Yes.
We ain't worried about it. We ain't looking back. I'm looking forward to the future in Christ Jesus. Who you looking forward for?
All right.
Amen.
I'm trying to encourage you, brethren, because I know what God can do. God has taken care of me in a wheelchair. I'm talking about in a wheelchair, Brother Parker.
Yes.
God has taken care of me.
Amen.
Amen.
He has blessed me.
Amen.
Sometimes I have to ask myself, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
You know what I mean, Brother Parker? Why me? Because I want my other people to be blessed. I want Leroy to be blessed.
Amen.
I want Brother Parker, to be blessed. Sister Keisha, I want you to be blessed.
Yes.
I want Michael to be blessed. Just keep on keeping on.
Yes.
Amen.
Brother, we can do it. We can have God.
Amen.
The world will have Christ.
No.
We have Christ. Keep that in remembrance. The children of Israel had Christ. When they got ready to cross over on the other side, what did God do for them? He took the water and the tarred it for them.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
The salvation of God worked.
Right.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You look at the salvation. God gonna fight for you.
Yes.
No president of the United States. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton is not the answer.
Amen.
God is the answer. We got to take
the
gospel to them one day.
Amen.
They don't know the Bible. All they know is politics.
Yes.
But take the word of God and get dead.
Doc, we got to close that.
The
word
of God, all we got to do is preach it.
That's it.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to call
tell it like it is. Don't be afraid.
Yes,
the apostles weren't afraid. They stood on God's word.
Yes.
All the prophets stood on God's word. Jeremiah 7:15, verse 17 said, God sees it all.
Amen.
God sees it all.
Amen.
So don't forget that.
Amen. But we got to bring it to closure. We got to bring it to closure.
Give it to close out.
Yes, sir. We'd like to give us a good prayer.
Close out or you can close out?
And want you to pick up from there.
You want me to pray or you want me to do it?
Yeah, do the prayer. Yes, sir, because you on fire tonight.
Our Father, our God.
Yes.
We're so grateful to have this radio program.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
Father God, we pray in the future that we may have more time to tell the world about you.
Amen.
Yes.
We know that you are in the saving business.
That's right.
We know that you're not playing with us.
Amen.
Sometimes, Father, we have to take a lesson and get a whooping sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father, when you whoop us, we're getting a whooping for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Father
Amen.
God, please help us.
Yeah.
Help us to be
Amen.
Faithful men to the cross.
Thank you.
Help us to walk
Amen.
In the light as he's in the light. Help
Amen.
Us to glorify you, dear God. Help us to do
Thank
things in the right. Help us to be
Amen.
True to you.
Amen.
God, we never can repay you for what you did for us. but we are created. We want to just thank you, dear God.
Yes.
You gave up yourself.
Amen.